Yes.
Yes, hello Ganga Mira. First, hello. First, thank you that I have the chance to interview you.
Please.
Yes. The people call you Ganga or Ganga Mira with your full name?
Ganga.
Ganga. Okay.
On the papers, it's Ganga Mira, not to mix with other who have the same name.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you got this name from Papaji?
No, Ganga is my own creation. I was called Mira all the time I was with Papaji. That's why I say Ganga Mira now, for the sake of clarity in the books.
Okay. So now you see yourself as a spiritual teacher?
I never present to myself as a teacher, spiritual teacher. I'm rather having the passion to speak of what cannot be spoken of. But when there is a demand, then I have a great joy to try to indicate where one comes from.
And where one comes from?
That's unspeakable. It's who you are. And the whole thing is when somebody searches to find or realize himself, he has to get some indication. So I try to explain that the main root of all our confusion about oneself, if it is the case, is to find out that the I, which wakes up the whole universe with it, the rising I, is just a concept of body-mind. So the tool given by our masters is from where this I come. And to keep quiet there where the question finishes.
So you advise the people to ask who they are?
Yeah, but first they have to demystify, they have to see what is the mind. And then, so that they are very clear that the root cause of that mind is this subject, which is mind itself, but it is not obvious when you are a seeker. So, the more you ungrasp your concepts or your descriptions of yourself or of your experiences, better it is.
The I arises from... Does the I arise from the thought that I am somebody, that I feel somebody, something, that I think something, and
sure, the identification comes with the rising I, and I is never alone. It's because I am born, which means the body mind is born, and then that body mind have experiences and feelings and descriptions, so I am such and such and this and that. And this is never questioned. So in satsang, the indication is to question that basic concept about oneself. And for that, he has not to search the answer in the mind. So from where I come? And the answer will be when you keep quiet.
Okay. Keep quiet means not to give too much attention to the thought.
Keep quiet means not to grasp any thought as valuable to give news about who you really are.
Do I have the choice to grasp a thought or not?
Once you decide that you have this thirst, this fire for freedom, you will surely decide not to fool yourself again. Means not grasping what the mind will tell, whatever it tells.
But sometimes in daily life, in practical life, it can be very helpful to think about things or to give
attention
to the
thought. Yes. It was only to realize who you are. Otherwise, the mind has its functions and, of course, will work very well in its circumstances. But it's about to realize who you are, not to confuse yourself with the mind exactly. Otherwise, the mind, if it doesn't die, if this body doesn't die, it will continue in this world, even in a good way, in a quite proper way. There is no difficulty about that. It is just this very precise search. Who am I in reality? What's real? You see?
You also make the distinction between the working mind for practical things and the thoughts which don't have any use in reality.
Who don't have
any use? You are not the thoughts which are not useful.
You see, it is about the desire to be free. So, I am not touching about this life which is belonging to the body and mind, and this rising I am body mind. To realize, you have to cut off with what you think, with your belief that you are body-mind. So it's just an instant, in fact. It's an instant just to be aware I am not this body-mind. The rest continues as always, as anybody else.
Must there be a longing to be free?
Must be the desire, otherwise this will not come. You have to want it.
And to want it is a grace.
I wonder, once you have that fire for freedom, you feel it's very graceful. So, we don't know how it comes to one. You cannot induce that it comes or not.
And it's a mystical of life to whom this desire comes or to whom not.
You know, this fire for freedom to know oneself will make you search, so you will try to go in many directions which are given and promise the same thing, which is not the same thing. So you may try mysticism also, but actually it is to drop all the practices which make you believe you are not yourself just now. So it's to drop the belief you are not yourself just now. For that, you have to demystify, you have to spot that any suggestion of the mind is veiling it, is giving you confusion about who you are. It's quite a journey.
It's a journey, but it can happen only in this moment.
Yes. It will always be now. At once.
Somebody told me that you are a specialist for people who think they are or have already enlightenment to ask if this is really true. What you can say about that?
It's true that I came to meet a few people who had a long journey of seeking, and then finally they got enlightened, and I always like to meet them, or they came. Who knows? Huh? Because you see, I know that I, as a body-mind, as a seeker, can attain also a state of enlightenment through a glimpse. It doesn't mean that if it is an experience still, that one will lose it. Or he may not be able to be honest enough, and he will maintain through the memory. So, if they come, we share, and then if I see something too much, I love to shake it.
Yeah, this woman told me you check it very well, very again and again, and it was a great help for her.
Ah, good. You know, it's very free to come to satsang, so if one doesn't want to be shaken, he can run away or just not come back. So if the one comes back, of course, it's the joy to feel someone freeing himself. It's the only joy, isn't it?
Yes. your history to be with Papaji in the past, is it just only history, or is it of any importance for you now to have a connection to Papaji?
Oh, I'm so grateful to have met my master alive, that stays. But my story is just a story. I don't rely on it, I don't depend on it, happily, even though it was a beautiful story.
And Papaji is still alive for you as an energy, or you feel a connection, or how to explain?
I would not express myself this way. I am just grateful to my master. I don't keep any image in myself.
Okay. You will come to Germany to give satsang in Munich and also to Holland in Amsterdam this month. How did it came? Did somebody invite you, or how was this happening?
Yes. Last year I decided to travel a bit again, which I didn't do for years, and. So I continue a little bit, not too much, because I like to, as I told you, I have this passion to tell, not to mistake yourself for anything, even any experience which looks like enlightenment. And if someone is attracted or happy, then he may come where I live, where I give more satsang, more often. So I'm happy to go to Munich, where I was invited, and to Amsterdam, where I am also invited. I go through invitations.
You answer every invitation, or choose where to go, and what makes you accept an invitation?
You mean when I travel? No. If I am invited, I go. And I don't know if I will go back. It depends on the response also. That's all.
mm-hmm. We had the issue of a free choice already. Can you answer once more? Do human beings have a free choice or not?
Probably not in reality, but since one takes himself for himself, he always decides for something. So let him decide to be free this incarnation that he took now. It has to be a very strong decision to remove all other decisions. And then he will laugh, saying, nothing was in my hand anyway. But he cannot take it before he does it.
For me, it makes me more relaxed to know that there is no choice, that things are happening.
Yeah, but you see then how you will free yourself? Because if one is free from the mind, of course you speak like this, if one is still in his mind, he's very cunning, the mind. He can suggest that.
Very cunning, but also a good servant.
Afterwards,
okay.
Afterwards, I would never trust my mind before.
And what means afterwards?
Means when you have seen what is mind and that it is coming and going, so unreal by nature, that you are not that. When this is radically seen, then of course.
And when this seeing is staying, when it not went away, goes away anytime. For example, I had moments or even hours or days when there was no identification with what was happening.
Understand.
But after some times it's normal again. But I'm not unhappy about it because I have a happy life. So.
But what I suggest is that once you know yourself, you are yourself, you know, you will not confuse yourself for this and that. You have to keep quiet, means you don't catch your mind. And whenever the mind comes very strongly because of habit, to just be vigilant. Be vigilant, okay, you let yourself to live, to be identifying this and that, but know that this is happening to the mind and to the body. One has to be vigilant, and that vigilance will go by itself. Maybe during the life, maybe when you go, who cares? But I would never trust the mind. You see, of course, the mind can be beautiful, can be the servant, but still I am not trusting the mind. It comes back because of, you see, it is maybe millions of years to have trust the mind and to have believed that's real and that's what one is. So some vigilance, even let it be up to the end of this life, of this incarnation, I would not risk to go again with the mind, even if he looks like a servant sometimes. So I still don't trust the mind.
Okay. But is there any separation? Who is, when you say I don't trust the mind, who is the I? Is it awareness or what is it?
There is no question in awareness in what you are. But since we speak of the subject, I guess it is I, the rising I, you say, I'm not trusting that mind, you see. because I know that whatever rises is untrue by nature. So, good life, bad life, surely blessed life today, it is not that which is important. What is important is to be oneself. And life comes and goes in the duality, good and bad.
When everything is one, also the mind is a part of this oneness. So how can I distinguish between this is I, this is the mind?
You see, when it depends where you situate yourself. If you are yourself, this talk even will not be there, isn't it? Now, if one seeks, he is, what does it mean? He places himself somewhere. So there is already separation. And that's why he suffers, that's why he searches. Now, the instant he realizes, oh, all that was a dream or illusory about myself. Now I keep quiet where I always have been. So, if there is no problem, he will never think this is mine, this is no mind. When a strong old habit comes, a very natural vigilance will be there. I will not enter there. Or, anyway, if I feel it in this body-mind, it's just body-mind. Illusory by nature. That's all I can say.
To keep quiet means that there is no thought at all? Or
No, thoughts can come and go, but you don't catch them. It's not that you are in a state of no mind, you see. There is no problem that the mind appears, but you have no more this curiosity that it will bring you the perfect answer about who you are. The search is gone.
The search is gone and everything is there in the moment.
It includes everything. Who you are includes everything. We cannot speak. We speak on paradoxes then.
And with in this keeping still, there is also bliss every time, or is it better not to wait for bliss?
Nothing. Why to depend on bliss coming and coming and going? Why to want, who wants to be always blissful after all? It's maybe peace itself. But it becomes a concept when I tell it, so better not to say anything.
Okay, so better not to arise any expectations.
Absolutely.
So you don't have expectations for the satsang in Germany?
I have a wish that all who come, they realize that they are already themselves. If it doesn't happen, doesn't matter also. But I wish for everyone.
Usually more women or men are coming to you, satsang?
Yeah, both. It's both. It's nearly equal.
And your satsang will be in English in Germany? In English you will speak
English,
in German?
Yeah.
Yes, but...
Yeah.
But if somebody doesn't understand.
Or at first friend will translate. Yes, as last year it was like that and it was totally fine.
And in your place in Portugal, you speak also English?
I speak English, yes. And if a few French come and they really don't know English, I reply to them in French and it is translated in English.
Okay, you are very international with yes. different languages. There also come people from Portugal to your satsangs?
Yes, more and more. More and more very interesting people, and because they had also an Indian guru, and they were learning the scriptures, so they are quite, they know the subject.
You recognize that there is a difference between people from south of Europe and middle of or north of Europe? There are differences in the mentality or in the mind? Or
Oh, I think that every country has his color in the beginning with what they bring in satsang. But for everybody it's the same, just to drop. To drop is international.
And then it doesn't matter anyhow.
Not at all.
How you see what's happening now in the world, that so many people want to come to Europe because they think it's a safe and rich place? And
you see, I'm sorry to say, but in Portugal, I'm not much in contact with the politics. I hear that, of course. And it's always very painful, all what happens with wars on the planet, but one cannot change this duality, isn't it? It's always very painful.
So, duality means always that there is peace and war?
Yes. It is the states of this body-mind, you see, it's waking state, sleeping state, dreaming state, and all what happens in it. That's duality.
But isn't there any potential for the human beings to live together in freedom and peace?
This is an utopia for me. It will never happen. Duality will never become one. What is absolutely efficient is to know oneself. And then it includes duality, and then duality itself is seen as oneself. It's like you see the ring in gold. The ring is only gold. It's called ring of this shape and that shape only because of the dual shapes. Because it's grass, otherwise it's only gold. It's the same with oneself. Duality in itself will never become one. We can have experiences of oneness, that's all.
And this experience of oneness happened to you quite early, when you were quite young?
When I met my master, I just had that experience that I wanted to realize, knowing that also my mind could not imagine better, and I was asking if there is something better that I want. So it's like this I recognized him, because I lived what I imagined best. From the very first meeting.
I went to Lucknow to Papaji in the early 90s.
Oh, really?
At that time, you have been with him? Because I don't remember that
no.
I have seen
no.
you.
No. I went in lack no time, which was, my time was over in a way. I went thrice, in 92 twice and in 95.
Uh-huh. And did you have connection also to other masters, like to Osho, or only to
Papaji? No, I have not known Osho, because, you know, I went to meet my master in 1968, and it's true that before knowing master, the few months before, I met Anandamayma and Chandraswami. And with master, I met Anandamayma again and John Klein and Wei Wuwei and Nisargadatta Maharaj, to my great joy.
Wow. Yes. But now you are not traveling to India anymore?
I travel a little bit only. But I... Yes. I meet less all the teachers and all that. Yes.
Do you think it's helpful for people to travel to places like Tiruvannamalai, where, or to Lucknow now, where Masters has been living in the past?
You see, for a seeker, it may be a help to go to the places of that lineage. But you see, there is nothing than satsanga life. Of course, myself, I love to go to Tiru, to the Ganga, because it's more my place than Lucknow anyway, and because I lived with my master there. But I would not say that this is essential. You have to hear a life, what the masters indicate. Otherwise, how can you be shaken? You see, when you are identified with a concept, with an experience, or do you know it is still the mind?
To see a master alive means to see him body by body, in the same room, or does it also can happen, for example, through video?
I don't know. I don't have this experience with video. I don't know.
Okay. I have the experience that it can be very touching and and very intense.
Very good. We are in modern times.
Yes.
Okay. Good. Modern times. Good. Good. It brings back.
Anyhow, on the other side, it's good to see the person then
also.
In reality also.
Yes.
But to have a first impression and maybe to be touched, or maybe to fall in love is also possible through a video.
Yeah. You want to mirror afterwards.
Pardon? I...
Then you want to go nearer afterwards. Very good.
Yes. Nearer to mirror. Okay, there was another question in my mind. So it's always more helpful to surrender to a living master than, for example, to surrender to life as one?
To surrender to life?
No, yes, to say, yes, I surrender to life, whatever life comes
but
and gives me.
If it is, okay, if it is very true that you surrender to life, it will bring you somebody to help you.
Okay, And when this somebody appears, then it's better to surrender to that somebody than to life at all.
Absolutely. Because that somebody will make you surrender to your own self directly.
And is it very important to stay with this one master? Or some people like, they call it guru hopping. They go from one master to another and
You know, my experience is that I followed only one master. And I think that the guru hopping may be very good when you still search, that you have not been stopped. Oh, there I will be really helped with my own demand. But once you see someone where you intuitively know, here I will be helped with this desire I have, well, it's better to stop. Because even if the other says the same thing, why to go there? It's better to stop and work with one. Once you are sure that that's it for you.
And to be with one master means to have his picture, to go to his satsang, to hear his darshan, and to think
is
about
to follow, is to follow his indication, and whenever you feel stuck or whenever you have to share, you share with that one. Who knows?
To share, you mean you to write an email to him or her?
Whatever means. Whatever means, and to come and see at times. It's very important to have this persistency to continue with one indication.
So you are answering email questions?
Inner questions?
Email.
Email questions. I don't, because it's overwhelming. I don't do. I was doing it for years. I don't do it anymore. I read.
Yes, and...
if it is really necessary, then of course I will reply. But otherwise, it works also, you see. It works also by itself.
And if people are coming more often to you, you feel them as your disciple?
They are my friends.
What's the difference?
That I'm not a master. I know who I am. I help my friends. If they want.
Friends? That means you are friendly with them?
Yes. I'm both. In satsang, I'm both. Outside, I'm friendly.
Both means that you can be also very sharp and hard.
I hope so. Of course, I'm hard on illusory beliefs. Very hard.
But in the beginning you are friendly, so that people come again.
Let them come and see. I have no rules.
When you are speaking, you know already what you are saying, or you start a sentence and you don't know the end?
Yeah. I know my subject, but I don't know how it will come out.
But you always trust it comes out.
Absolutely. It's a response to the demand, you see.
So, you feel thankful to life, to your master, or to what?
I don't feel anything. When I think of my master, I'm very grateful. The most grateful I can ever be.
And this stays all life. This will continue all your life. This is natural.
It's totally natural.
Okay. Is there any subject or issue you would like to talk about?
I think you touched many things. It's all right. It's all right. It's thank you.
Thank you very much. And
thank you very much. Devatsu? Yeah.
Devatsu. Ah, Setu, Divine Bridge.
Very nice.
Yeah, what? Name from Osho.
Ah, very good. Have a nice day.
Okay, same to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.